The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Pray that you brought your Bibles, Habakkuk chapter 2. You can let, go ahead. Thank you. I told my audio and video crew to stand down on today. I want you to do less reading and more reasoning. I want you to do more listening. The Bible says, he that hath an ear, hear what the Spirit saith to the church. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. This morning I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. It says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him. But the just shall live by his faith. It says that the just shall live by his faith. This morning, my brothers and my sisters, with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to consider the subject. I've been talking about it. I've been writing about it. I've been inferencing about it, but I want this morning we want to talk about a different perspective. This morning we want to talk about a different perspective. You may be seated in the presence of our God. A different perspective. Just about 5 weeks ago, right before my leave of absence due to my surgery. And again, I can't thank you all enough for your cards and for your well wishes, for your prayers. Every card that came to the house, I read. Every token of expression, I was there to receive on behalf of our entire family. But the last sermon that the Lord had me preach, the message was, that was then, this is now. And little did I know the level of prophecy that the Holy Spirit was not only speaking through me, but was speaking to me. For you see, at that time, I was merely standing as a vessel, as I always have, to be a voice for the Lord and speak to someone under the sound of my voice, to encourage them about the fact that God knows how to change our lives. Come on, somebody. And that no matter how rough, how tough, how difficult, sad, or even unfortunate any of our backgrounds might be, we were designed for service. God has saved you, and he's delivering you from where and who you were. And as a result, you have to stop letting people and even yourself label you based on what you used to do and who you used to be. I said to start telling those people and yourself, that was then, this is now. I said to tell those people and yourself that God has made a difference in my life. God has changed me. I might look the same, but I have been changed. And that was what God had me to proclaim 5 weeks ago. But Sister Mary Ann, even with the change, hear me, Holy Ghost, in order for us to fully understand what this change is all about, in order for us to fully embrace who God is changing us into as his children, the fact that we've been created in his image, in order for us to walk worthy of whatever the vocation God has called us to be, found out, Deacon Griffith, that God is going to have to give us a different perspective. Do me a favor and turn to your neighbor and tell him, neighbor, stop trying to get noticed by people. You're already approved by God. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Y'all don't hear me in here. Too many folk. I don't care if it's social media. I don't care if it's in the media. I don't care if it's a newspaper. I don't care if it's in church. Turn to somebody else and say, neighbor, stop trying to get noticed by people. You're already approved by God. Now give God a hand clap of praise. Different perspective. Notice here in our text that even though I read Habakkuk chapter 2, and that's where we'll spend our time, I need you to turn over to Habakkuk chapter 1. For over when this book opens up, Habakkuk finds himself troubled. And he's troubled on two different levels. First of all, you notice in verses 1 through 4 of chapter 1, Habakkuk is troubled by the curious to know why God would allow wickedness in Israel to continue for so long. Have you been there? You wonder why there's so much wickedness that continues to prevail, and you asking God, why in the world are you allowing this stuff to go on for so long? But then if you drop down to chapter verses 12 through 17 of chapter 1, you notice that Habakkuk is troubled by and curious to know why God has elected to use a wicked nation, Babylon, to destroy a less wicked nation, Israel. But here's what I want you to see, because the prophet really struggles with these two issues. And he does the only thing that he knows how to do. He cries out to God for an answer. In other words, Dickie McFarlane, he took the question to the answer. Did you see what I said? I said that Habakkuk took the question to the answer. The reason I got to emphasize that point is because too many of us, I don't care what the source is, we go to the wrong sources with all of our questions, with all of our lament, with all of our complaints. And we do all of that even before we take it to the Lord in prayer. I said Habakkuk did the only thing that he knew how to do. When he had questions, God never said he didn't expect us to have questions. He just said nowhere to go to get your answer. Amen. But here it is. Even after, because I'm talking to somebody, they say, well, I do that all the time. I heard what Jesus said. Man, I have to always pray. But here's the teaching, however, because even after Clark Habakkuk takes his questions to the Lord in prayer, it's that next step, it's that next critical step that too many of us miss more than half the time in our prayer lives. Next step he took was he waits for God. something I want you to see and I want you to take note of. Here, still in Habakkuk chapter 1, I want you to note that for it's too many times that we give and we seek pats on the back. So we got trouble, and folks say, well, you need to keep praying. And we say, well, I am. I'm praying. And we think that's enough. Watch the text, because I want you to see the object of Habakkuk's criticism. Because the object of his criticism and the object of his contentment is actually God himself. It's not even the people. God doesn't act up. Folk act up. But Habakkuk is upset with God. In essence, got to teach this morning. Help me to teach, Holy Ghost. In essence, Habakkuk is saying, Lord, these are your folk. And he's frustrated with God for letting the folk act like they do. But before you get uneasy in your seat, let me be crystal clear that this is not a pastoral issue. Let me clean that up. This is not a pastoral issue. Remember, Habakkuk is a prophet. Amen. And in Ephesians 4:11, it says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. In other words, he gave some to be prophets, but just because they're a prophet don't mean they're teaching. They're just proclaiming. I don't need to teach you anything. I need to proclaim something to you. Amen. But yet you can't have a pastor that's not prophetic. Teach, Holy Ghost. You can be an evangelist and be spreading the gospel. You don't have to stand and teach anybody. I'm just spreading the good news. But you can't have a pastor, you teach, Holy Ghost, who is not an evangelist. This is not a pastoral issue. Habakkuk is a prophet. Amen. So this is an all of us issue. Amen. It's a universal church issue. What are you saying, Pastor King? Here's what I'm talking about. Because there are a whole lot of folk in the church who wonder why folk in the church, come on somebody, act like they do. And they ask God, why in the world, Lord, do you allow them to do this or that? Act like this or that. Come on, somebody. But can I tell you that even as bad as we might think, people or things are. Now I got to make all of us uncomfortable. Because you know what we do. We like to tell everybody, oh, I'm praying. But you better watch who you ask to pray for you. Because they praying, get them, Lord. They praying, fix her, Lord. Fix him. He ain't right. She ain't right. Uh-oh, I know y'all going to come together. I ain't talking to y'all. I'm talking over y'all. Fix him. Be careful who you ask. Because they told you, wait. Good morning, Deke. I'm praying for you. You don't know what they're praying. But here's the real problem at that moment, because the problem is really not the folk you might be praying for. The problem might be our own perspective. All too often, we have a tendency to view the spiritual realm through carnal vision. Jesus, teach me. When it comes to the things of God, I don't care how long we've been in church. This ain't got nothing to do with that. there are just times when God is going to have to remove us from some stuff because we can't see the forest for the trees. And we are mixing up. We are mixing up activity with productivity. And so every now and then God says, I need to give you a different perspective. Spirituality and carnality don't mix. It's like oil and water don't mix. The carnal mind is enmity with God. You can be saved sitting on the pew, but you're still thinking carnal. Amen. Amen. I'm going to fix it in a minute, but think about this for a moment. Think about this for a moment. The way we view any situation is dependent upon the perspective which we employ. The fellowship hall, here's an example. The fellowship hall seems somewhat small when I walk around in it. But Lampkin, when it comes time to clean it, it's big enough. It's almost too big. It's perspective. Amen. Our perspective will always influence the way we see things. This was Habakkuk's problem. He expected God to revive his people and wake them from their spiritual sleep. We find him in the midst of prayer, almost to the point of questioning God and accusing God of inactivity. Have you been there? Oh, we've all been there. Because Habakkuk longs for a display of God's power in his present circumstances. Don't worry. Even when you admit, yeah, I've been there, this is an us problem. I tell you that all of us have been there. I don't care how sanctimonious anybody sitting next to you is. We have all been there. We've all had that same expectation that we expect God to display his power. We expect God to prove to us that he is working in and on our situations. We want God to show that he's aware what we have going on. I mean, Lord, you know what I'm dealing with. This ain't just one problem. It's one more problem. And I sure don't need no problems right now. Some folks say, I can't afford to be sick. Come on, somebody. This ain't good time, Lord. So we want God to prove that he's aware of our situation. I know I'm right about it. Then all of a sudden, after posing the questions to God in chapter 1, listen to what the prophet says in our text of chapter 2. He says, I will stand my watch. I will stand my watch. Set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Be careful going to God thinking you always right. Amen. Matter of fact, be careful to God thinking you right at all. Amen. I mean, I'm just going to talk about me. I believe I've gone to God genuinely, humbly, with some good suggestions. Y'all think I write long. You ought to hear my prayers. Because I get detailed. I'm like, Lord, here, if you just think about this. And be careful. He said, I will watch to see what he will say to me. Don't go to God with all your talking and don't give God time to talk back. I mean, why go to the Lord in prayer seeking answers and you don't wait for him to answer your prayer? he says, I'll see what he'll say to me and what I will answer. Because you're gonna have to, we're gonna have to all stand before the Lord and answer. He says, when I'm corrected. Now again, just thinking about this text. Now we flipped the page from chapter 1 to chapter 2, but you gotta keep this in perspective here, because probably there was an interval of time. We just don't know how long that elapsed between the questions of chapter 1 and even the initial response from God in chapter 2. But if you're taking notes, I want you to write something down very important. This becomes, even for me, some fresh revelation. Habakkuk only records in chapter 2 his determination to wait for his answer. He doesn't tell us when it finally arrived. Take that now. Yeah. So we got it as part of our own thing. I have it. It's part of my pastor's pen. Write the vision, make it plain, all this stuff. He records his determination to wait for an answer, but the text doesn't tell us when it finally arrived. All we know is that the answer is going to come. So at this point, I'm talking to somebody, because somebody has started to bail out on prayer. And at this point, we find right now, I know we like to take words off a page and make them our own. Mm-mm. Use your own words. I just need to help you where you are. At this point, all we find is the prophet trusting God for an answer. But this becomes that difficult period. I'm talking to somebody, because you're waiting. You're waiting and you're wanting, almost demanding answers. This is that critical period, because it's during this period of waiting and trusting God for an answer, that Habakkuk will learn the importance of a different perspective. Jesus. For Habakkuk turns to God in his moment of perplexity, and he believes that God will answer his petition. But let me pause here to let you know that God rewards faithful seekers. And that's just not me talking. That's the word of the Lord. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God rewards faithful seekers. You see, we got folk who haven't abandoned coming to church, but they've abandoned everything they believe about God, especially when problems come knocking on your front door. You got too many folk who are saved today, cussing tomorrow. Storms arise in our lives. We abandon then even coming to service, and we are easily tossed and driven by every wind and wave, and sometimes wind and wave of doctrine. Time of trouble, Habakkuk refused to waver. The Bible says he stood his watch. And even though, because you're going to get this too, even though Habakkuk was being reproved by unbelievers and maybe even believers, you got some folks who say, why do you keep going back? Why do you keep praying to that God? Even though he was being reproved mostly by unbelievers, the Bible says he stood his watch. The reason I had to make my other point, that all he does is record the fact that he waited, because we don't know when the answer actually came. But not knowing when the answer would come, Habakkuk said, I'm going to stand my watch. I'm talking to somebody. I don't know when the answer's coming. I know God answers every prayer. But while you're waiting on your answer, and you need to know, sometimes no is an answer. It might be no, not now. It may be no, not ever. But God still knows better than you do. Talking to somebody, waiting on an answer from God. Unbelievers were mocking the prophet. They were questioning the integrity of God. In essence, they were asking, you heard this, if God is so holy, if your God is so holy, why does he allow all this wickedness to continue? But look what the prophet had to do, Griffith. The prophet had to remove himself from the wicked. And sometimes what that means is you just gonna have to remove yourself, not from sitting with them folk at work, remove yourself from them conversations. I'm not saying for you not to be social on social media, but you're gonna have to quit feeding into everything, feeding in your timeline. He had to remove himself. Wait a minute. He had to remove himself to give himself a different perspective. The Bible says he set himself on a tower or on a rampart. It was necessary. Sometimes you're going to have to elevate your mindset. Amen. He placed himself in an elevated position. Now I got to park it right there and teach somebody. I said he put himself in an elevated position. This is different than the definition that the world and even the church would teach when it comes to elevation. See, you got some folk who said, if I can just get promoted on my job, I won't have all this stuff to deal with, so I need to be the supervisor. If I can just get promoted, I won't have to deal with folk coming into the door. I need to be a deacon. If I can just get promoted, be the pastor, have anniversaries and all this stuff. And even now, it ain't good enough to be pastor. You can go to bed pastor and elevate it, and now I'm bishop. I got 10 folk, and I'm bishop. Elevate. No. This is not always positional. This is conditional. You can be seated in the same seat on your job. You don't need to quit jumping from job to job. Quit jumping from ministry to ministry because some folk get on your nerve and you can't stand this or that. Because you're in the same condition. You're in the same condition. You haven't elevated your mindset. Haven't elevated your spirit. There's some stuff God wants to give you, and he said you still in the same puny mindset. Care how many times you come to me with whatever you asking me, it's not about the fact that you don't get deep down, Lord. I don't care nothing about that. Your mind is still not right. Thinking is still poisonous. Can't in fact, we got a new suit, new shoes, new hat. Bishop now I ain't wearing leather, I'm wearing crocodile. If we're not careful, we'll get caught up in that stuff. Shirts and ties and suits and hats and two pieces, three pieces. And God said, it's your mindset I need you to elevate. Beckett moved from the midst of his problems and his circumstances, and he had to place himself above it. only when we remove ourselves, or in some cases, when we are removed ourselves. Every now and then, God loves us just that much. You ever seen a little puppy running around and mama? How does mama carry her puppies? Right in her mouth, on the back of the neck. And every now and then, God's got to come get us. You do know that as a sinner, he had to come to the slave market of sin to redeem us. And when it comes to salvation, when you think about salvation, that means he had to snatch us. And quit comparing where God had to snatch you from. Just turn to your neighbor and say, I don't care where it was. You need to get your butt snatched. Tell you why we need a different perspective. If you've ever been sick, nothing else in the world matters. Nothing else matters. You just want to get well. All that other stuff, you can throw it out the window because it ain't gonna help you. When you got a loved one that's sick, nothing else in the world matters to you. You are saying, Lord, if there's nothing else that you would do right now, heal. In the name of Jesus. None of that other stuff matters. See, now all that other minute stuff, you done threw that out the window. Oftentimes we become so overwhelmed by problems that we can't even see God working. We can look down on our problems and they don't look so bad sometimes, but we need to learn how to change our perspective. Habakkuk shows confidence waiting for God to respond when an answer. And it's in trusting him that we find Habakkuk doing three things. I want you to write these down on your own. He's watching, he's writing, he's waiting. He's watching, he's writing, he's waiting. A lot of us say we're going to wait for the Lord. I get it. And we always talk about we watching God and waiting for an answer. But I need to talk about that writing thing. If you don't have one, get your prayer journal. Even when it comes to goals and objectives, they say if you don't write them down, if you don't put them on paper, they're good for nothing. We're going to have to start writing some stuff down. And what I want to challenge you is even write down some of your prayers and see whether or not our prayer life is growing and maturing. He's watching, he's writing, he's waiting, but not just because he read it in a good book. These are per God's instructions. Amen. Process would challenge him. We're challenging him to move beyond his limited understanding. Because, whew, Jesus, listen. We, all of us, we have the tendency to think that we know exactly what God is up to or exactly what God is not up to. And it's not until we remove ourselves or until we have ourselves removed that we allow God to ultimately reveal crystal clear his plan for us. We got to consider our current plight through the perspective of God and not through man's perspective or even our own. Therefore, our thoughts, they got to be elevated. They have to be elevated beyond the limited understanding that we have. And sometimes, I don't care where you are, what you're doing, what your name is, last, first, or last, all of us are going to have to put ourselves in a better position of just simply trusting God to work it out. Remember, No matter what we're faced with, there are always two perspectives. You can have your own perspective, or you can have God's. We're crying out with complaints like Habakkuk. We're viewing the situation through our own perspective. But when God is speaking to us about our situation, and he's encouraging us to respond and behave in a God-like fashion, teach Holy Ghost, we then see the situation through God's perspective. Note the importance given to what God is saying. Watch verse 2. He says, write the vision and make it plain on tablets. Watch this. Whenever the phrase write or inscribe on tablets is used in the Old Testament, that means that whatever is being said is so important and so serious that it's got to be preserved so it can be passed on. But here's the teaching. See, this is when you get another light on the text. Interestingly enough, the word tablet is typically used in the singular. Here, it's plural. The only other time, I ain't had none but time, 30 days. Don't worry, I done had time to see stuff differently. The only time tablet is used in the plural is when it directly related to the inscription of the Old Testament law. The implication is that there's a whole lot of gravity to what God is about to say, and this is of absolute importance. And it's essential that not only Habakkuk, but the people at large be aware of what God wants them to know and recognize the severity of what is about to transpire. My God. God reminds Habakkuk that the just or the righteous will live by faith. They will not be abandoned. They will live by, as a matter of fact, the New King James says, by his faith. That becomes universal. See, we say by faith, I get it, but some of us are trying to run on other folks' faith. Says by his faith. That simply means that we are actually able to live in the midst of confusing and frustrating times by trusting in God. Trusting in God to fulfill his promises. Even when we don't understand them, even when it's not crystal clear. I'm going to preach on that next week. I got to get that out too. There's still some blessings that God will bestow upon us that we still misuse and abuse. And he says, now I know what I gave you, but you actually need, what do you see with what I gave you? And I see men walking the streets. He said, no, you need another touch. Because you ain't seeing what I gave you right. You're not seeing that blessing I gave you right. God is sovereign. God is the Lord of our lives. And as we trust him and abandon our own will, we can even be encouraged when nothing seems to make sense to us at the present time. As I get ready to close, I'm reminded of a story about a little boy. A little boy about 3 years of age. Played every day. Fence backyard, and it's one of those metal fences where he could stand every now and then and peer through. And he would peer through and see all his eyes were able to see. It was one side of his yard that was actually obstructed. The view of the neighborhood was obstructed, and it was obstructed by a church that had a big old cross in front of it. So every time he looked out, ultimately, in his mind, he couldn't see the streets and he couldn't see the world because it was being obstructed by this church that was sitting there with this big old cross in front of it. One day, the gate was accidentally left open. The little boy wandered out the yard and actually got out to be able to explore the neighborhood. But it wasn't very long, Sister Patsy, that he found himself lost. The local police found the little boy wandering the streets with no supervision. And they asked the little boy, they said, "Son, where do you live?" And the little boy responded. He said, "I don't know." Remember, he's 3 years old. They asked him his telephone number, and again he responded, "I don't know." They said, well, what are your parents' names?" And all he knew was "Mommy and Daddy." As the police officer was wondering what to do, the little boy remembered something. He said, well, Mr. Policeman, he said, "I tell you what, if you take me to the cross, if you take me to the cross, I can find my direction and I can point my way towards home." That big cross that seemed to be a hindrance to the little boy's view from where he once stood, now, after he changes his perspective, he says, "If you get me to the cross, God Almighty, I can make my way home." Stop by to tell somebody today that you need a different perspective. We still have too much mumbling and grumbling in the universal church about everything, but what's right with the church and good about Christ. Stop by to say we need a different perspective, but it's not just about mumbling and grumbling. I'm talking to somebody that's in a storm. And you feel like you've been in your storm for so long. And you feel like the storm is never going to end. As if God doesn't even know that you're in a storm. I've come to tell you, you need a different perspective. Because if you look through the eyes of Jesus, you'll find that everything is all right. Even when the disciples were out on the stormy sea, Jesus was asleep in the bottom of the ship. But just because you think Jesus is being inactive doesn't mean that he's not present. He was on the boat. Amen. He is really right there with you. So if you have a different perspective, you can actually turn your sorrow into joy. A different perspective would turn your bitter in the better. It'll actually give you something to shout about versus somebody gotten to shout at you to shout. Come on, somebody. Amen. Whatever you're going through, and we're all going through something, whatever is weighing you down, whatever you are worrying about or stressing out about, we've all been there. Matter of fact, we might all be there right now. All I want to do is tell you, get to the cross. Waiting on your breakthrough just before you break down. Get to the cross. Somebody, you can barely see your way through. Sun is shining bright, but for you, the clouds are hanging so low, you can barely see 1 foot in front of the other. Get to the cross. Because it's at the cross where I first saw the light. And you need light when it's dark. And the burdens of my heart rolled away. And it was there by faith that I received my sight. And now I'm happy. Anybody happy in here? I am happy all the day. Habakkuk showed confidence in God, waiting for his answer, watching, writing, waiting. Watching, writing, waiting. Now it's a process that would challenge him right where he was. But it was a process, thank you, Holy Ghost, that would move him beyond his limitations. Limited mindset, limited vision, limited outlook. I don't care how much 20/20 vision you got. You can see as far as you can see down the street. God can see around the corner, up the next street, and knows the exact path that you're going to stumble your way on. It's not until we remove ourselves or have ourselves removed. If you've ever been on your sick bed, you've been removed. Amen. If you ever been through a storm, when you, Sister Stephanie, when all you have, because everything around you is burned down, and all you have is the Lord, he's had to remove you in order for you to see what God has for you. There's some folk in here, you know your testimony. Not only will you have to remove yourself every now and then, God will call, allow some stuff for you to be removed so you can see. Peek back over the other side and allow God to truly reveal his plan to us. A different perspective. Tomorrow night, the Lord willing, I want to break down in a continuum of this. And I want to break down Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I got to break it down. And the reason I got to do that, because it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy path. But I got to teach that because it's in Hebrew, and I got to teach it. And too many folk, when they see heart, they want to get real emotional. And God is telling somebody, get out your feelings. That's tomorrow. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Too many folk trust in the Lord with all thine heart, so we get real emotional. And God is saying, I need you out of your feelings. That ain't what that's talking about. And even when he says direct your path, too many folk are reading that waiting on direction, and I got to teach that. It's deeper than that, even for me. The doors of the church are open. Stand to your feet. I began to.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to First Baptist Church, WCH.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.